It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes, Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelt.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. We take your calls. That's the phone number. You can also send in your questions on Twitter, the hashtag GiantsChat. Now, it's a very exciting time for the New York Football Giants. Yesterday, all the players were back in the building. And that really is a very exciting day every offseason because the Timex Performance Center, as lovely as a building as it is, just does not have the same type of energy, the same type of verve when the players are not here. And it's just so much fun to have the guys back in the building. In the locker room yesterday, you can see the video feature on Giants.com right now. You know, seeing the guys say hello, they haven't seen each other for the first time since the team flew back together after the Super Bowl, and they had their parade down the Canyon of Heroes. All these guys live all across the country. A lot of them train away from here over the course of the offseason. So it's really the first time they're getting back together since the Super Bowl, and it's kind of good to see everybody. Everyone's in great spirits. They're anxious to get back to work. From what I've gotten, it looks like they've taken the last 2 months to really relax and come down off of that high. But they're ready to get back to work and try to win this thing again in 2012. And this is where really a lot of the hard work starts. You get your body right. You get ready for next season. You get ready for training camp. You make sure everything is good to go in terms of being physically prepared for what's always a very, very tough grind of an NFL season. And the Giants are also getting ready for the 2012 NFL Draft. They're having their draft meetings. The scouts are in the building, and everybody is going to find out very soon who your newest member of the New York Football Giants is going to be. And the Giants are always going to pick the best player available. That's how they operate. They're going to judge based their needs, based on who they brought in free agency, who's left on the free agent market. But they want to get a starter, a player that's going to be an impact player. And that's what the Giants are going to do as they get ready for the NFL draft. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, or on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. Those are your two ways to get in touch with us right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live every morning on Giants.com from 10 to 10:30. Now, we're going to have a very special guest today as well, Paul Schwartz, longtime beat writer for the New York Post, will be joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live in just a minute or so. Paul will talk to us a lot about what's going on with the New York Football Giants, their recent moves, and, of course, we will look ahead to the NFL draft. Paul's been covering the New York Giants for a very long time, knows his stuff, good friend of the program, and he'll be back in the building on Thursday when Jerry Reese has his NFL draft press conference. He'll try to go the entire 45 minutes without mentioning a name of a player the Giants could possibly draft. And one of the guys trying to get him to mention a name will be Paul Schwartz from the New York Post. Paul, do you think you're going to get Jerry Reese to utter a name of a college prospect this year? Your thoughts?
Oh, there's no question. With my astute reporting skills, I will definitely get him to utter the name of a college player, but it probably won't be a college player who's eligible for the draft this year.
Paul, very well done.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the Giants' moves late last week, and let's start with the trade. They bring in Keith Rivers from Cincinnati for a fifth-round draft pick. Your thoughts on the move? To me, it's a very low-risk, high-reward type move that you have to like.
I think there's virtually no risk, you know, involved. The guy's making barely more than $1 million a year, so, you know, for a starting type linebacker, that's peanuts. You know, he was in 2008. You know, we talk about draft prospects. He was the number one linebacker coming out of the draft. He was rated number one, just, you know, 5 years, you know, prior to this, and was the number 9 overall pick of the Bengals. So obviously he's not that player, and we all know that just because a guy's drafted high doesn't mean he's a big-time player, but there's definitely potential there. He missed all of last year with a wrist injury, which is troublesome, but certainly not as troublesome as a leg or foot injury, that kind of thing. So he presumably he's healthy. He's a classic outside linebacker, and I'd be very surprised if you could get Jerry Reese to admit this, but you know I assume the Giants figure he's going to come in here and earn a starting job somewhere, which you know could cause a little bit of a chain reaction in the linebacker corps. But hey, the more good players you have, the better.
Yeah, no question. And let's talk about what that chain reaction could be. Do you think Michael Boley has what it takes to be that middle linebacker in a 4-3 base defense?
I don't think 100% ideally. I do think he has what it takes as far as he can call the defensive signals. He's astute. He can get guys lined up. No problem with that. You know, I don't know if he's a stick-your-nose-in line of scrimmage run stopper that you'd want. You know, they really got him more as a running chase linebacker. He can cover tight ends. You know, he's got good size, so I don't think that's a big issue. But, you know, mindset, I think he'd rather run than stick his nose in a little bit. But, you know, we saw on some short yardage situations and, you know, third and ones and fourth and ones, you know, Michael Boley coming over the top and really, you know, stopping, you know, the quarterback on a sneak and things like that. So, you know, I don't think ideally he's your middle linebacker, but if Rivers, you know, I don't think they're planning on Rivers to be the middle linebacker. So if Rivers earns a starting job, Boley's a starter. If Mathias Kiwanuka is still a starter on the strong side, if those are your three best linebackers, then you know they're going to have to line up in one of those ways.
And then you got to figure out what you're going to do with Jaquan Williams as well, a young guy who showed a lot of promise last year. Is there a worry of you know retarding his progress a little bit if you have Boley and Rivers ahead of him, two guys that basically play the same position as Williams?
Well, yeah, but it's not about, you know, this whole operation is not about, you know, developing Jaquan Williams. It's about putting your best players on the field. And there is, as you know, there are plenty of sub-packages. And just because you're not officially one of the three starters, you know, if the defense does its job on first down, it's second and eight, you know, there's three or four players come off the field. And, you know, Jaquan Williams could be one of the players that comes on the field. So, you know, I mean, we can't get too caught up with the starting situation on defense, but, you know, I'm not sure if the Giants are ready to say Jaquan Williams is a flat-out starter this coming year. So, you know, Keith Rivers certainly has a big-time pedigree, and, you know, now he's got to prove it on the field.
Is it time in the NFL now that we have to change our idea of what that middle linebacker is, where it's not going to be the Ray Lewis type anymore and it's going to be that faster guy that can cover tight ends down the seam and really get out there in coverage? Is that position and, frankly, the importance of it, like you mentioned with all the sub-packages, you're a nickel 60-70% of the time anyway now, how important is it to really have that, you know, hole-plugging middle linebacker?
Oh, I still think it's important, but the problem is those players don't exist that much anymore because in college, so many teams are running the spread offense. So you have all these run and chase and hit linebackers. But, you know, if you get one, I mean, the goal is to get one who can play three downs. I mean, it's not like you don't want the guy to play three downs. You don't need to sub him off the field if you don't have to. The problem is, you know, the Giants 2 years ago had Jonathan Goff playing there, and he was a tremendous – well, not tremendous, but he was a developing and pretty good run stopper. But – if he did his job on first down, he was taken off the field, much like, you know, Barry Cofield was you know, a defensive tackle. He was taken off the field when there was a pass rush situation. So you have very situational-type players now. But if you get one, believe me, if you get a Ray Lewis, you put him in there, and you don't worry about him on first down, on second down, on third down, and you sub around them. And you don't need to sub all these guys in and out if you can help it. You want a stud in there, but the college ranks are not developing these stud inside linebackers in a 4-3 who can stay on the field on first down and stop the run. And then on second down, they can go run with a tight end or something like that. So it's difficult, but if you can get them, you want them.
Your thoughts on the Antoine Molden move?
Not an extreme amount of thoughts, really. I mean, the guy was, an okay player on a bad defensive backfield last year with the Patriots, and, you know, he's in the mix. You know, people have to realize that just because these guys get signed doesn't mean they're on the team, you know, just like with Chase Blackburn. everyone is hailing the return of Chase Blackburn, but Chase Blackburn got a one-year minimum salary contract. There are no guarantees he's going to make the team. There's no guarantees that Antoine Molden is going to make this team. It just gives a tremendous amount of competition this summer in Albany. We, you know, don't forget, because they have the four rookies from last year. You know, they have a lot of guys back at cornerback, certainly. They other than Aaron Ross, they were all re-signed. So yeah. He's going to have to compete with the Justin Tryons and the Bruce Johnsons and the Michael Coes. You have, obviously, Prince is back and Corey Webster's back and Terrell Thomas is back and presumably will be healthy. So, you know, this is another guy, Molden, who has NFL experience, who has started NFL games, who's, you know, played in 19 or 20 games last year, played in the Super Bowl. So that experience is good. Now he's got to show that that experience counts for something on the practice field.
And it'll be a pretty full, as you mentioned, defensive backfield. How quickly do you think we're going to see the Terrell Thomas that Giant fans saw a lot of in 2010?
Well, that's the, you know, I think that might be, you know, if you ask me right now, list the top five questions heading into the season, that's in the top five, and it might be in the top two. Aaron Ross was a good player last year. He was not a great player, but he was durable, and he played his position at cornerback. You need a ton of those guys. He's gone now, and you're presumably replacing him with a guy who missed all of last season with an ACL, and not just his first ACL, his second ACL. He had one on the same knee in college.
Right.
So that is troublesome. You know, a lot of surgeons say that it doesn't heal back as well the second time. He says he's on schedule from what he tweets and what he writes and what he's been saying, but he's going to take it easy in the spring, I'm sure. He's going to, you know, have to start going in training camp. But you know, he's the guy that they need to start. I mean, he was a developing into a lockdown cornerback with 10 interceptions in 2 years, and, you know, he was the best cornerback on the team heading into last season before he got hurt, and that's why the loss seemed so devastating, and really for three-quarters of the season was devastating until the Giants got their act going. So he will be a huge question. Can't he come back, you know, to full form? That's tough. An ACL for a cornerback, I think, is pretty tough. So it's going to have to be watched and monitored and studied and evaluated every step of the way.
Aside from Jaquan Williams and Prince Amukamara, who I think would be the obvious answers, what Giant 2011 draft pick do you think has the best chance of emerging as an impact player in 2012?
Let's see. You'd like to say someone like Jarrell Jernigan.
Right.
You really would. I mean, that's who I'm sure the Giants would say. I mean, Marvin Austin would be great, but Marvin Austin hasn't played football in 3 years. So for him to be an impact player, it's going to take some time, I think, to round into shape at defensive tackle. He was slotted in to be a real part of the rotation last year before he missed the whole year with that torn pectoral muscle. But there is a need at receiver. I mean, I think the Giants will draft a receiver fairly high. Could be in the first round, could be, you know, the second day. I think they'll draft one fairly high because I think they need one. You know, Mario Manningham is gone, and he was a 2A. I mean, he wasn't a starter, but he wasn't a number three guy either. He was better than that. And as we know, he did not have a great regular season, but he had a tremendous postseason.
Yep.
They don't win the Super Bowl or get to the Super Bowl without him. So Jernigan is a need to step up. He was a third-round draft pick last year. He wasn't some guy they picked up just as a flyer. He's supposed to contribute. He had a really rough beginning last year, you know, dropping punts and kind of putting the doghouse. But he's a guy they want to help on special teams, returning punts if possible, and as a slot receiver. I mean, he's the prototype slot receiver, small, quick, loves having the ball in his hands. Now he's just got to do it, and it's a leap of faith to think he will. But, you know, these guys, I remember seeing Amani Toomer way back when in his rookie year, and he looked lost. They looked like he would never get it. And, you know, and he was almost cut after his second year. So sometimes these guys develop. They take a little bit of time. But, you know, they have talent, you got to nurture it and develop it. And that's what the Giants have to do with Jernigan.
As the Giants head towards the draft here and they try to figure out this draft class, and where do you think you're going to find the best value where the Giants pick at 32? Not necessarily a player, Paul, but a position where you think they're going to be able to find somebody that'll help right away at that 32 spot.
It's tough. You know, it's always so tough evaluating. I mean, it's where you always want to be as a team and as organization, to be as low as you can, and,
right,
unless you got a trade along the way. But, you know, at 32, so many things have to fall through. You know, and I'm sure, I think the Giants have done a good job of positioning themselves through free agency with their low-key moves. You know, Martellus Bennett fills the need of tight end, and, you know, Rivers at linebacker there. The Giants, I don't believe they have to force a need with that first pick and say, you know, we have to get a safety. We have to pick him here no matter what. We have to get a receiver. You know, they have enough players at these positions where they can do what they want to do, is look at their draft board, be true to their draft board. And I would almost guarantee you that the guy that the Giants pick at 32, Jerry Reese is going to come down and say, we had him rated in the 20s. You know, we had him rated higher. We think he's a better player than we had him going in the middle of the first round, and he dropped to us, and we had to take him, much like Prince Amukamara last year. I think probably receivers are guys that you could get that will be, you know, of good value there. I think offensive linemen, tackles you can get. I think there are some guys who, you know, may last a little longer. Then there'll be a run on them, and they'll all go. But there'll be someone, I would imagine there'll be a tackle that the Giants have rated higher than 32 who will be there. You know, I think those are the spots you look for. I mean, I don't preclude them from taking a cornerback. I really don't, if there's another good one, even though they took one last year, because you need a lot of them. And if there's a talented guy there, you bring him in. You know, I mean, we all forget, Prince was supposed to be a big-time prospect.
Yep.
The fact that he broke his foot and, you know, his growth was so slowed because of that in a year with a lockout where there was nothing, you know, for him to hang his hat on as far as preparing. You know, he gets thrown in there, and it was rough sledding for him, but hey, he had very little in the way of preparation before he got on the field.
Yeah, no question about it. And you mentioned possibly drafting an offensive lineman, Paul. What do the Giants have to do to get this running game back on track? They were 32nd in the league last year running the football. They're going to bring back their primary running back in Ahmad Bradshaw. They really haven't figured out who's going to be his supplemental back yet. You're, as of now, minus Cream McKenzie, going to have the same basic group of offensive linemen there. Where do the Giants have to go? What do they have to do to try to run the football better? Because let's be honest, it's a minor miracle they won the Super Bowl being as bad running the football as they were.
You're right. I mean, it got better. You know what I mean? I mean, I think if you, you know, you saw every game, obviously, and looked at them, and, you know, I think as the season went on, I don't think you'd say that's the worst running team in the league.
No.
Because they do want to throw the ball, but they weren't good. There's no question about it.
Right.
They weren't good. They weren't consistent. They got better. Well, I think, number one, the center has to play better. You know, this is he had his indoctrination year, David Boss. He had some injuries. This was, I think, his sixth new offense in his sixth year, because he kept on having new offensive coordinators in San Francisco.
Wow.
So I think the Giants want to cut him some slack. You know, he had concussion problems. He had a knee problem. He had a neck problem. So, I mean, you know, he was battered around a little bit, even though he didn't miss a ton of games. So he had his year to kind of feel his way through. He has to be a good player. He has to be a much better player than he was. I think he was just an acceptable player last year, at times less than that. And, you know, that caused problems along the line that people had to compensate for. So that's number one. Number two, you know, Beedy is going to presumably be the left tackle. I would assume that means David Deal is going to be the right tackle. It's a new alignment. You know, David Deal has played right tackle before, but not for a while. And, you know, he's got to get used to the different footwork, the different handwork, the different opponents he's going to have to go for. And you know, right tackle's got to be more of a run blocker right now. And you know, so David Deal has to maybe, you know, kind of, you know, change gears a little bit mentally to do that. And I also think they need to add a running back. I really think they do. I don't think this stable of running backs is good enough. You know, Ahmad Bradshaw, we all love him. He's tough as anything, and he's, you know, one of the toughest, hard-nosed guys on the team, certainly. But he's got two bad feet, and that's not a good resume for a running back. It just isn't. And to think that he's going to play 14, 15, 16 games at full strength is a pipe dream, because he's got bad feet. And so, you know, he's one crack away from another stint on the, you know, injured reserve, or, you know, not practicing. You know, the guy doesn't practice, and it's not good for a running back not to practice. So, you know, I don't think with DJ Ware, with Darrell Scott, and, you know, if Andre Brown is on the team, and if they stick with him, you know, is that good enough? I don't think so. I think they need to bring somebody else in, whether after free agency, it's a second-tier free agent-type guy who has some experience, or more likely a guy in the draft, I don't think in the first round, but, you know, that's usually not the Giants' M.O. With a running back, but you never know. I mean, if there's a great prospect there who's fall through the cracks, you know, I could see them taking one of a number of positions, and I do think they need a running back, unless they think Darrell Scott is waiting to explode, which maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but I don't know if they could know that by now.
And frankly, I thought in terms of the running game, in terms of just depth on the offensive line, that Shane Locklear was a great sign, and he can play both tackle spots. He's a veteran. He'll fit in with that lunch pail, you know, type of mentality they have in that with that group they have here. I thought he's a great signing. Now you have a guy like him and a guy like Kevin Booth who can play multiple positions. It just gives this team so much flexibility if injuries do happen to come along.
Well, I thought it was ridiculous that they didn't try to find another Andrews. You know, I mean, after Sean and Shane, isn't there another brother they could have signed to be that depth along the offensive line, right? I mean, they've gone to the Andrews well twice already.
Yeah.
And both guys were decent players before they got hurt. So, yeah, I mean, you need that insurance policy. I don't think they're expecting Sean Locklear to come in and start. I really don't, because, you know, who is he going to keep on the bench? David Gill, Will Beattie? I don't think so. But you need a guy who you can plug in at either tackle spot, and now he's your guy. You know, James Brewer is a guy they drafted, I believe, to replace Kareem McKenzie at some point and be the starting right tackle. But they're not ready to hand that job to him. He's a mammoth guy. He looks like Kareem. I was going to say he looks like a mini Kareem, but he's not mini in anything. He's a mammoth guy. But, you know, you have to wait and see if he's ready for that. At some point, I guess they will, but perhaps not this year. So Locklear is a guy who doesn't cost a lot. You put him on the roster. He suits up every game. He plays on the special teams. He plays on, you know, your packages, you know, for the blocking extra points and punts and things like that. And if somebody goes down at one of the tackle spots, you plug him in. So he's a valuable guy to have on the roster, but I don't think as a starter, certainly.
All right, we're going to have some fun here. You already predicted what Jerry Reese will say about his first-round pick after the Giants take him on Thursday, April 26th. Give me a prediction of what you think Jerry Reese is going to say in his press conference on Thursday.
How you guys doing? He'll say the OC Umanura talk is off-season chatter. He will not comment on Tim Tebow when asked about him and the Jets' moves. He will deny that the Giants have any interest in doing Hard Knocks this year. He will say the schedule is tough, but it's always tough. He expects someone to step up out of the shadows at linebacker like he did last year, and I think he's going to talk up Jarrell Jernigan and Ramsey's Barden.
Okay.
As guys who can play, who have to step up and come out of the shadows as far as, you know, certainly playing a receiver. You know, he won't say much about the draft. There's no question about that because he never does. But, you know, I mean, look, Jerry at this time last year was coming off a second straight non-playoff year and, you know, was not under fire or anything because he wasn't going to get fired. But you know, he had to produce a good draft and a good, you know, he was, don't forget, last year at this time, the Eagles were the dream team who was signing everyone under the sun, and the Giants had signed nobody but David Boss, basically, and signing some of their own guys like Kevin Booth and things like that and Bradshaw. And you know, the perception was the Giants were not a great team in a good division and had done very little to help themselves. So, you know, it's interesting that a year later he's now got a second Super Bowl title at a, you know, fairly young age as an executive and, you know, was really riding high, and you know, no matter what he says, people will kind of lap it up because it's you know, it comes with such credibility because he's been there, done that before. But you know, he's very serious about the draft. He's a scout. He's a scout at heart. This is what he does. This is what he loves. And you know, he takes it very seriously. Obviously, Mark Ross runs the draft, but you know, Jerry has tremendous input and you know makes the final call. And as a scout at heart, he really takes this stuff seriously and wants to, you know, bring in 7 or 8 players for the Giants who will you know, set the foundation for years to come.
And final question, hearing anything about the schedule coming out tonight at 7 o'clock?
Yeah, I heard a whisper the Giants are going to open up against the Cowboys on Wednesday the 5th. You know, I just tweeted something that you know, it's an amazing amount. You know, Giants, you know, what do you think the over-under is, 4 or 5 primetime games?
I'd say minimum 4, and you might – and, you know, usually they like to leave the one open for the potential flex late in the year, right?
Right. I would say, that's a good call. But I would say we got a Wednesday night that we know, maybe 2 Sundays, a Monday, and then they'll leave one open for later in the year, which they'll probably flex. But you think of the games that they can pick.
Well, you have to have a Thursday night game too, Paul, and the home opener does not count as the Giants' Thursday night game.
Interesting. That's a good point. The Giants are a marquee team, and you have so many matchups. You have Packers at Giants. That's a rematch of a playoff game. You know, Packers looking for revenge. That's a natural. Saints at Giants. Now, the Saints are going to be an interesting team, especially early in the year, I would think, because of, you know, the bounty gate, and, you know, people are going to want to see them. Now, if they don't have a great year, they won't be as interesting later in the season. But they're good. They'll probably have a good year. Steelers at Giants, no-brainer, right? Just a pure football matchup. Roethlisberger, Eli, two quarterbacks with two Super Bowls apiece, great matchup. Then you have Giants at 49ers, rematch of that great NFC Championship game. That's an easy one. And Giants at Ravens. You know, Eli against that great defense is a tremendous matchup. So you could have Giants at Carolina. Cam Newton is going to be a guy people are going to want to see. So there's so many games at the Giants. I don't think Giants at Bengals in the Keith Rivers return to Cincinnati will quite draw the national spotlight, but you never know. You also, with the 49ers, you have Matt Manningham, the guy who helped win the Super Bowl and helped beat the 49ers in the playoffs, now going against his former team.
So, you also have, like, and how about the Tampa game? You have Greg Schiano returning to New Jersey.
Bucks. Let's see. That game is where? That game is.
That game's in New York.
Is at New York. I don't know if that one's going to draw the. if they can play the game at Rutgers Stadium, perhaps.
Yeah,
it'll be a good matchup. But no, it is. I haven't heard any rumblings about which games and things. But there'll be a lot. You know, the days of Sunday at 1 for the Super Bowl champs are very slim. There'll be a few sprinkled in here and there, but not many, and that's just another reason that makes it difficult to repeat. I always remember that the year that the Rams won it in 1999, they played 15 Sunday at 1 o'clock games.
Wow.
You know, they were not supposed to be a good team, and they lost their quarterback, and there was no interest in them really as far as the national stage, and 15 of their 16 games was Sunday at 1 o'clock. And that is just a schedule every team loves because it's a schedule, it's a regiment. And, that's why the Patriots are so impressive, because every year you look at their schedule and they got night games and they got Sunday games and they got Monday games and they got Thursday games and they're playing at night and they're doing all these things and they still win 10, 11, 12 games every year, 13 games sometimes, despite all that, and that's the mark of a true great team.
Paul, great stuff. Lots of fun. We'll see you on Thursday. Good to have you guys back in the building.
Glad to be there. Thank you.
All right, Paul. Talk to you soon. That's Paul Schwartz in the New York Post. Does a great job covering the Giants. Always has a great insight today on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. I'll close out the show with a couple of phone calls here. Let's go to Len in Maryland first. He's been holding the longest. Len, good morning.
Hey, John, how you doing this morning?
What's up, bud?
Hey, listen, as a season ticket holder, I hope after Dallas we get 7 1 o'clock games on Sunday.
That would be nice. I don't mind that either, my friend.
That'd be good. Listen, quick shout-out to Chase Blackburn. Paul is right. There's no guarantee he's going to make the team. But I just think that, you know, the guy deserved an invite back to training camp. And, you know, let the chips fall where they may. But it'll be good to see him out there in training camp anyway. I think it's a nice thing for the Giants to do that. Listen, can we talk a little draft just real quick? With Will Beatty's contract situation, I think he's in the last year. You know, the Giants are going to have to make up their mind whether Beatty's the left tackle or not. And if they re-sign him, if they give him that second contract, they're going to have to pay him a lot of money. So I think this is a critical year. And with that in mind, I'm not so sure the Giants haven't already made up their mind about Will at left tackle. And I wouldn't be surprised if they go tackle first round in the draft. Or the center from Wisconsin, Cons. There's another guard from Wisconsin, Ziegler, two inside guys. I think they're going offensive line. John, what do you think?
Hey, I think if Jerry Reese looks at the board and he sees that the best player left on his draft board is an offensive lineman, there's a great chance he could go an offensive lineman. And I think you're right about Will Beatty. I think this is a very important year for him. To prove to this organization that he can be a starting left tackle
absolutely
in this league. And I think he's shown that he can protect the quarterback pretty well, Len, but I think we need to see him get a bit of a push in the running game and becoming more physical of an offensive lineman. And frankly, he's never played a full season. The Giants really haven't asked him to until last year, and then, of course, he had that bad eye injury. But they'll need him to show this year that he can be a starting left tackle. Otherwise, the Giants are going to have to figure out where to go. Do you move David Deal back there? But, you know, he's obviously, you know, over the age of 30 at this point. You got James Andrews, who was a fourth-round pick last year. I mean, James Brewer, excuse me, who was a fourth-round pick last year.
Yeah.
They had too many Andrews. I keep getting confused with all these guys. But he was a fourth-round pick last year, and they think he has the physical ability you know, the good feet and all the size to play the position, but he's going to have to develop a lot in order to move there. But, yeah, I think this is a huge year for Will Beattie, and an offensive line in the draft would not be something the Giants would look away from.
Watch that center from Wisconsin, because I think Paul was onto something with David Voss. I mean, the guy worked hard, there's no question, and was a little nicked up. But I'm not so sure they're fully sold on him, and I don't know how many years his contract runs, but I could see them bringing in a center. Kahn's is a big guy and a tough guy. Two years from now, maybe Kahn slips in and, you know, Boss gets let go. So I wouldn't be surprised if it goes offensive line. Hey, listen, good guest. Paul is always a great guest. He's been a terrific guy covering the Giants. And Ken Palmer last week, I'm familiar with Ken's work and his publication. He does a great job.
Len,
hey,
both
listen, have a good day.
Yeah, Len, appreciate it. And you do a great job on the phones as well. Thank you very much. And, yeah, Kenny and Paul both do a great job. They know their stuff. And we thank both of them for joining us this week and last week. Let's close out the show with our good buddy, Victor, who's down in Texas. Victor!
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, brother?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, you know what? Paul stole all my thunder, man. He talked about exactly everything I wanted to talk about. I mean, I wanted to bring up, you know, James Brewer and William Beattie. You know, this is his year, and definitely he hit it on the head with, you know, what Jerry Reese is looking for, because Jerry Reese likes to, like, you know, we like to teach and coach within for our players. And I'm looking at Ramsey Spartan here, and I'm looking at him. I'm like, he's a guy that needs to step up this year.
It's,
you know,
time for him, Jarrell, yeah.
Yeah, Jarrell Jernigan, and you know what? A guy that nobody's really talking about that we lost, who, you know, I think is going to be an impact this year if he stays healthy, is Marvin Austin. I mean, nobody saw what he could actually do. You know, he had that torn bicep, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Marvin Austin looks like a guy that's going to be very, 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 you know, good for us on defensive line. And and draft-wise, you know, I'm looking at us, you know, first round, best player available, definitely. Because we just got so many options at that 32nd pick. And, you know, between the second and third round, I think they will probably get up, you know, a running back. Because if you look at the running back situation right now, it's kind of up in the air. You know, we don't have Jacobs, you know, but we do have DJ Ware. You know, DJ Ware still needs to prove to me that he can, you know, if Bradshaw goes down, he's able to move in. And you also have
Andre Brown.
Running back. Yeah, Andre Brown, but he's suspended for four games. I'm talking about the other guy from
Darrell
Maryland.
Scott.
Yeah, Darrell Scott. I mean, he's unproven. So I'm looking at us probably getting somebody, you know. I like the kid from Boise State.
Me too.
But is there a durability issue with him? I mean, from what I heard, he's like a workout warrior. And then you got Lamar Miller. I mean, it's a guy that can catch the ball at the backfield. He's played tough. I'm just looking at us coming out of here with a good draft pick at running back, because I think we need that swing man to come out there, you know, as far as, you know, dumping the ball off in the flat and gaining some yards like that. So,
hey, Victor, the guy that I like the best is Doug Martin. I think, and this is, I don't know what's going on upstairs, this is the guy that I just happen to like. He's a bigger guy. He's a between-the-tackles type of runner that Tom Coughlin likes. He's 5'9", 223. He's wide. He can run through tackles, get those extra yards. He's a good receiver. He blocks a little bit. He does all those little things that the Giants like, and he'll provide that not flashy but consistent between-the-tackle power runner that they really wanted Brandon Jacobs to be, and I think he can fill that role and complement Ahmad Bradshaw pretty well.
John, does he remind you of like a Ray Rice sort of? I mean, he's you know, I don't have his numbers with me here, but I mean, the guy's a workout warrior. I mean, and he's able to tote the rock, like you said, through the middle of those tackles, because that's what we're going to run. I mean, our offensive line, you know, we're going to block, and he's going to have to find that hole and hit it hard. And I think he's one of those guys we could pick up. But from my understanding, he's kind of moving up in the draft boards, too. I mean, a lot of people are taking looks at him.
Yeah, he is.
I hope he's there for us.
Yeah, I think Doug Martin will probably be a second-round pick, I would say, I would think. And, you know, he could, you know, he's moving up the boards, you're right. I would compare him more at 223 pounds. He's a lot bigger than Ray Rice was coming out of school, obviously. I think Michael Turner, he might be a little too big of a comparison, but he's the same.
Yeah.
Type of runner that Michael Turner is, between the tackle, a power guy. I think that's a pretty decent NFL comparison.
And just one more thing, and,
sure.
I'll let you guys go. With the O.C. Uemura deal, right, you know, I know a lot of, you know, he doesn't have to report and all that stuff right now, but, you know, with O.C., I mean, he has to understand that the money's not going to be there. He has to know the money's not going to be there. But with O.C., I mean, the guy did come through with some big, big plays for us. I mean, they might not seem so big, but, you know, to the naked eye. First of all, that play against Rodgers, where he swiped the ball out. That was a touchdown. I mean, the guy came up for us big. Maybe we could extend his contract a little bit, because I think if you take him away from that package and you put Kiwi back up on the line, I mean, Kiwi played linebacker terrific. I mean, Kiwi played very well for us at linebacker. So, and we, if Rivers doesn't work out and Jaquan Williams, that whole thing doesn't work out, it's just kind of weird for us to lose that type of pass rusher and have Kiwi step up, you know, and then it affects our linebacking core.
Hey, look, Victor, the bottom line is this. OC is going to be here this year. He's under contract.
Gotcha.
And he's going to report. Look, we've had these types of issues the last 2 or 3 years with him. And what happens? He always shows up and he always plays in that first game. So the Giants expect him to be here. My personal opinion is that I think he'll show up and I think he'll be here as well to play, because think of it this way. He's going to hurt himself when he's an unrestricted free agent next season if he doesn't, if he holds out this year, doesn't
point.
Play,
that's
isn't effective, point. Doesn't put up good numbers, then all of a sudden the payday he's been waiting for all these years is not going to be there. So it's going to be eventually in everybody's best interest that he gets here. Now, would the Giants be willing to discuss an extension with him? I don't know. I haven't talked to the guys upstairs, but based on the quotes after the season from some of the Giants, I don't think they would be adverse to having that discussion. Now, what the monetary value would be on that extension is something that they'd obviously have to figure out and negotiate. I don't know what OC's looking for. I don't know what the Giants are, you know, looking to give him. But that's something they'll have to talk about. I do know this. The Giants value OC Manura. They know how important he is to the team. They know the season really started to turn around last year when OC got back from his injury. And if you throw him in there and you rotate him with Tuck, with Pierre Paul, with Mathias Kiwanuka on the defensive line as well, that's what wins the Giants the championship. So he knows, they understand his value. OC wants a little bit more, he wants that contract eventually when he becomes an unrestricted free agent. And that's the crossroads that they're at. But look, he's under contract, Victor. He has to show up, he has to play, or he's really going to hurt himself.
Hey, John, do you think that Jerry Reese will entertain any type of, maybe say, draft day trade?
I will answer this the same way Jerry Reese will answer this on this Thursday press conference. And Victor, thank you very much for the call. He will say, we entertain and we talk to teams all the time about a myriad of things. And if a team wants to talk to us about something, we'll talk to them. It doesn't mean we're interested in doing it, but we'll talk to them. So I'm sure the Giants will listen to what other teams have to say. They'll make the decision as to whether or not that's the best thing for the organization to do, and then they'll make their decision. But honestly, I believe OC Manuel will be in uniform week one for the Giants this year playing defensive end. That's my opinion. We've been through this many times before. I see no reason why it's going to be any different this year than it's been the last couple of years, and that's pretty much what I think about it. Thanks, everybody, today. Great show. Paul Schwartz from The Post did a fantastic job. Len Victor, all the callers, great job as well. Thank you for joining us on Giants.com, everybody. Tomorrow, Michael Eisen will join us. We'll have a hardcore breakdown of the Giants' schedule, which will get released tonight. That'll be a lot of fun. On Thursday, another big day. Jerry Reese has his press conference. Neil, at 1 o'clock, Jerry Reese's press conference on Thursday, I think. It's either noon or 1. I got to check that. It is noon, I think, right? We'll have that live on Giants.com. Just go to the website. We'll have that for you, exactly what time it's going to be on. That'll be there. And also, we're going to be joined by draft expert Daniel Mulligan on Thursday from NFLDraftBible.com, a good friend of mine, and he does a really good job on the draft stuff. That should be a lot of fun. And confirmed, Jerry Reese's press conference on Thursday will be at noon. We'll have talk some draft at 10 o'clock on Thursday. And then on Friday, we'll play back some of that audio from Jerry Reese's press conferences. We'll talk about that, and we'll take your calls as well right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com, which comes your way every single morning, Monday through Friday, 10 to 10:30. Make sure you check it out right here on Giants.com. Everybody, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow morning.